Polyhedron is a production of Simulacra Studios. You can find us on Twitter at SimulacraRPGs or at PolyhedronCast. If the visual medium is your thing, you can follow us at Simulacra TV on both Twitch and YouTube. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/SimulacraStudios and sign up to be a patron.
Hello and welcome to Polyhedron, your multifaceted podcast. I am your host, Matthew, and as always, I have my two good friends and two little black boxes. I got Scott.
Hey guys, I'm a real time.
I feel you, buddy, but he is so cool, he's got to wear shades at night.
That's, yes, my AI-generated avatar because I don't feel like showing my face right now.
Yes, this audio medium, yes.
In this audio medium that matters nothing.
And my good buddy, Ryan.
I spoiled the fact that I was here by talking during the other one thing. The structure is falling apart, Matt.
It's a Shyamalan twist, everyone. Ryan's actually here.
I'm actually here, guys. It's not, it's definitely not like, they didn't take all the time we've been on Polyhedron, make an AI version of my voice, and then have ChatGPT write snarky comments. They
definitely didn't do that. I was listening to something, and some guy like Facebook or Twitter was going around the media sphere. It was like, hey, if robocalls call you, don't talk to them because they will record your voice.
Yeah.
They want to get audio samples so that they can then put it through other programs to make you say anything they want.
Well, the newest scam is, in fact, literally stealing people's voices, hacking them to the point of at least getting an emergency contact.
Yep.
And then calling their emergency contact using their voice.
Yep.
Get them to send money.
That is horrifying.
It is one of the most diabolical. Like, that is the dark side of AI. If you want to talk about what the dark side of AI is, there it is. Like, that's, you know, that's the spooky part. Where
God damn, and we're fucking podcasters. It'd be so easy.
Yeah. Yes. No, we have. No. Our voices are done. Like, we are, like, I have definitely considered doing the 30 minutes worth because we are like, yeah, why not? Like, get yourself to say almost anything. Have you heard the Ben Shapiro one? It's stunning.
Yeah, it is good.
It's stunningly good. You can't tell because of his affected speech in the first place, because it's all an affect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got the affect so dead nuts that you can't tell it's an AI. Like, you can have, I mean, some of the funniest shit I've seen is like Obama, Trump, Shapiro, and Peterson playing Minecraft.
Yes.
Like, that is one of my favorite things.
It's so good. Like, it's so fucking so good.
It's so fucking funny. And I don't know. Like, we live in the future is a lot. I mean, I knew it was going to be weird. I didn't think I'd get to live in it. I don't know how to.
I was telling my coworkers, like, we already live in a dystopia, like a cyberpunk dystopia. Like, yeah, it just has less chrome and neon mohawks. Stolen.
People are having their fucking voices stolen to fool their relatives into thinking they're dying. Like, to steal money. And all the former presidents have AIs on the Minecraft server.
Eventually, just like the 24/7 was it the Seinfeld episode, we're gonna have like characters in Minecraft that are just building AIs that are just building stuff.
I mean, yeah, you can get them to do pretty much. I've taken to asking ChatGPT a lot about how generative AI text models work. It's very interesting. It's very interesting how it works. Very boring, like kind of dry actually, and how it actually works. Long story short, you feed them fuck tons of data and they spend a lot of time trying to associate stuff, right? They just find associations that you wouldn't be able to process because it's just too much.
Yep.
And sometimes they overcorrect it and, you know, you have AIs that read 85% of all resumes deciding that because you play lacrosse and are named Jason, you're a fit for the company.
Yep.
Well, because it turns out that there are already a bunch of people who got into the company who are named Jason and play lacrosse. That's an association.
It's called overfitting is what that's specifically called. And one of the examples that GPT gave as to how that happens is like, well, the data can also be very skewed. The bias is skewed,
The bias is built in because of how you collected the data. And what the data is, and how.
You know, having to explain to my mother that data can be racist was a really
yes
fun discussion.
Yes,
it's like, well, you have to ask who collected the data?
Like, who set the parameters of the survey?
Like, yeah, right.
But sorry. This is not our AI episode. We're not talking about AI in general. Sorry. Matthew, how's your gaming been?
Yeah, it's been fine. First off, before we get into all that, I just wanted to apologize. We missed an episode. We apologize. There's things outside of control, personal things. We're back. We're fine. We're going to get onto it. But I just wanted to apologize straight up. We didn't have an episode last 2 weeks.
Shit happens, yo.
But as for gaming, not bad. Like, I got back into painting. My work has been real rough lately, so I've gone into painting again, so sort of to de-stress a little bit. Yeah, other than that, I'm trying to think, we played your Terrigen game, which was great. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. Super wacky episode, but we needed... And what else? I've been interested in a couple video games, like that new Wulong, The Fallen Dynasty.
Yeah.
Kind of interested in it, but...
I think, yeah. It's probably worth a try if you, I mean, you, like, little brag for Matt here. Matt has beaten Sekiro and, like, he's beaten it. He's beaten Malenia and Elden Ring, but not, actually. So Matt is actually King Boy Gamer here. I think Wulong Fallen Dynasty would, I think your brain works. I don't know.
It's actually the aesthetic. I watched somebody play it, and it's too much like Nihoh. Like, it's too much. It looks like, because it's from Team Ninja.
Heka Neo?
Yeah. And I'm like, it's a little too cartoony or over the top for me. I don't know. I may look into it. I'm still debating on that one. And unfortunately, Jedi Survivor has been pushed back. So
no!
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. I don't keep on my finger on the pulse of when shit's coming out, because
yeah,
I don't care.
It got pushed back.
It's fine.
Well, it's a nice surprise when something you didn't realize was coming out is out.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
It is. And Scott, how has your gaming been?
My gaming has been okay. I played Garden of Destinies, the LARP, last weekend, which was good. You know, it's the same problem I have with it, is that I am not a fighter. That game is very much about fighting. I do make my own fun, though. I just wish there was a little bit more to... A little bit back and forth for someone who is old and out of shape and doesn't want to fix that. But yeah, that was fun. I ran my Terrigen game. Been running Adventure. We've got some more dates on that scheduled, which I am super, super happy about. That game is going very fun.
Oh, it's so can't see Ryan, but he just did a little dance.
Yeah.
Oh, no one needs to know about the Baden-Baden.
The Baden-Baden. But they will know. They will know. Yeah, that's going out to the world. Have some more Aeon games scheduled, which that's fun. But there's been a lot of interruptions, so a lot of stuff has gotten pushed aside, so I haven't been able to keep things on schedule very well.
Yep.
But my two Aeon games are good. And yeah, I'm just generally putting along. I've been playing a couple of games off and on here and there, video games. There's one that's just delightful called Little Misfortune, which is a very simple kind of side-scrolling visual novel adventure about this little vaguely foreign girl who is being puppeted along by fox spirits and devils to a horrible, grisly end. But she's delightful, and she throws glitter on things, and it makes things... And I've started playing the Spider-Man Miles Morales game, which is... Very, very cool. Like, they up the visual, like, aspects of it. Like, their model of New York is unbelievable.
That has always been on my list of things to play. Yeah, the Spider-Man games.
I want it on my PS5, I think.
I bet that would look real good.
Yeah, on the big TV.
Mm-hmm. But those are I've been playing that. I highly recommend that. And yeah. But Ryan, what about your gaming?
Well, I played Strahd. I mean, I guess Witchlight, sorry. Yeah.
That's right. We have Witchlight too.
We stomped a hag. It was pretty good. She got away, but that's kind of part of the story. We'll get her.
Yeah, no, she's on that list. We got to get her.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get her. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Like, I actually kind of like it. It's power fantasy in a fun way.
Yeah.
We are way too hoss to be stopped by anything, so our confidence is like as fucked up as adventure confidence when you haven't been wiped should be.
Yeah,
yeah. But we're also like slowly going through and unionizing Fairyland.
Yeah, we're union. We're basically using socialist rhetoric and union rhetoric to like make people understand that the hag's the problem. It's like no, they're not. Like the people on the other poor people aren't your problem. No. It's the hat. It's like it. There's a lot of you in one of her, is all I'm saying.
Let's do this.
Let's do this thing. And then we show them the body parts of her slain sisters, and everyone's just like, well, that's all I needed.
Yeah. But because the hag got away, it ended with me shouting to the heavens that I was gonna get together with all the other warlocks in existence and form a union because 3 fucking spell slots isn't enough.
We couldn't counterspell. I made a mistake. I counterspelled too early. I blew my reaction when I shouldn't have. But anywho, we also been playing Adventure, which has been absolutely delightful. And I think that's, oh my God, am I going to say, like, am I leaving out anything? Any other tabletop games? Not currently. But yeah, I got it in me to like, I mean, Mask of Mythos came out for Scion. So I'm trying to like square my, like, my dislike of Scion's core systems. Like I like the story path system a lot, but I think as a non-neurotypical person, sometimes I need boundaries, bigger boundaries than I think Scion feels like giving.
Yep.
So I'm still gonna like look over it and see if I can wrap my brain around a story that can like, because part of it is like the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. You party and D&D, I can tell you how to do something that will challenge them at whatever level.
Right.
Not have that for this system or these types of characters. I don't know what they can do. So, getting that calibration. Or I might just run some more D&D. I don't know.
Well, buddy we game with in Terrigen Game, we were talking about that exact thing. And one of the things he was like, yeah, I'm just going to run Mask of Mythos in the story path system.
Yeah.
Just run it. Aberrant Adventure. You Scion, you can do all of it in that. You can just run a Mask of Mythos game, but just use that system instead, and it works.
The Trinity system as opposed to the Scion system, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. That's a pretty good point, actually.
Yeah, Adventure is a good way of doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you can come up with the bad part, the bad part of doing the stuff.
Yeah.
Awareness, like some cognate to awareness or something will mess you up.
There's tons of ways of doing it, and it almost exists in the system setting anyways.
Awareness kind of actually stands as a counterpoint in that system to inspiration, because instead of you dictating what the reality is, your tie to the creatures of Eld and whatnot are making that determination for you. So I don't know. Interesting.
We can talk about it more. We can workshop it, I promise. Anyway,
In video game land, I still play RimWorld a fair bit just because it's a lot of fun. And try to play FTL, Faster Than Light. That game's too fucking hard, dude.
It's I heard it's very hard.
Ball buster.
Because it's almost all RNG.
And there's also like a certain amount of timing required, and it's like, I don't know man, I don't want the time. And also there is a real point to where the RNG is like, yeah, you're right, it is more RNG. There is a point where the RNG is like, you will not win, you're done.
Yeah this run is screwed, you just might as well start over.
There's no point in continuing, which I don't like to be dead in the water, you know what I mean. I prefer to like just fucking kill me and let me start over. But other than that, I haven't really done anything like big gaming wise, mostly like little indie stuff while I listen to audiobooks and stuff.
Yeah, it's everyone's got their like decompression. It's fine as long as you're having fun.
Speaking of compression and decompression, wait, we're gonna do the news. We're in the news.
Well, there actually isn't much news because we're coming out of yes, we weren't here last time, but there just hasn't been a lot. The new D&D adventure, The Golden Vault, came out, but I haven't really looked into that at all.
I'm going to look at it.
The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated movie is got a teaser trailer.
Oh, shit.
It's by Seth Rogen. So it's got a lot of really cool faces and voice actors, and it looks stylish, but more reminiscent of like the original like 80s cartoon without not being wholly in that style.
made by someone who really cares about the property.
Correct.
Yep.
That's what you want.
So I'm looking forward to that because it's called Mutant Mayhem. So there's probably going to be a lot of like other mutants running around. And
yeah.
Oh, there though. What got my attention was the Bebop and Rocksteady. The voice actors for that. Jackie Chan is the voice of Master Splinter.
Nice.
John Cena is Rocksteady.
I dig it.
All right.
I forgot who was Bebop. It was another like notable person is going to be Bebop. Where are they? Oh, and Seth Rogen himself is doing Bebop.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
So I'm down for that. That's going to be really good.
That should be fun. I like the hell out of the Ninja Turtles as a wee lad.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of the earliest toys I remember having are Ninja Turtles.
Yep. That's it. There's milk in that nostalgia, but hopefully they do it well. Other than that, any news from you guys?
I think the next Onyx Path Kickstarter is going to be very cool. It's going to be the Talent Players Guide. They decided to take, they were working on two different kind of core products, which was the Talent Players Guide and Brave New Worlds, which Brave New Worlds is all about like microverses and time travel and basically the weird shit that talents can get up to.
Yep.
But they have decided to merge those two together and put them out as a single book under a single Kickstarter because there was a lot of overlap in the product and they decided, you know what, these two really belong together.
Yeah, the two great tastes that go great together.
So that'll be getting kickstarted very soon, and I'm looking forward to that.
I will back it because I had a really kick-ass idea for how to do talents, and I think we're going to get tier 3 talents in that book.
That's entirely likely, yes.
Yeah, so which is good because I want them to find tier 3 talents because I think it'll be rad.
Yep, that'll be super fun. But
any news from you, Ryan?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But like I said, appropriately to that, our topic is we have actually, all three of us, seen a movie.
Ooh, one movie.
A current movie.
Wait, Matt, did we see Quantumania?
Yes, we did. Yeah, or did we not? I'm not exactly sure. I'm a little 50-50 on this.
I'm outside.
Yeah, by hook and by crook, we all got to see Ant-Man. Is Ant-Man the Wasp in Quantumania?
Ant-Man and the Wasp, colon, Quantumania.
Yes, or as a bunch of really, really cool dudes on the internet have called it, the end of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. A bunch of really good futurists who don't understand anything and really just continue to say words that make no sense.
Have a very extreme opinions about their own opinion.
It's just like, way to mythologize it, guys.
Indeed. Well, let's go around the room and just give our thumb up, thumbs down. Matt, what did you think?
Well, you said thumb up, thumbs down. I give it a thumbs up. It is not the most enthusiastic thumbs up, but it was definitely fun. So it is a fun time if you like the characters. The movie is not really about Ant-Man nor the Wasp.
It is not.
But Ryan, what did you think?
I can't do thumbs up, thumb down. It's just a B minus, dude. That's the only
way. That's fair.
It's a B minus.
No, like, I agree. I agree. It was not an amazing film, but it was very fun. I enjoyed my time with it.
I saw Wakanda Forever a week earlier, and I'm just
yeah.
You know what? I could go for fun.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of fun in the Marvel universe. It's been real dour lately.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked all the weird shit going on.
Yeah, it's weird.
It was very weird.
I mean, Matt can tell you the literal thing that I said the moment the credits hit is, well, that was the weirdest episode of Rick and Morty I've ever seen.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the good things about that movie is Jonathan Majors is great as Kang.
Oh, like, my God.
Straight up awesome as Kang, and I cannot wait till we'll have all the iterations of Kang start screwing with the MCU.
Yeah, I did. I'm not one of the types of people who actually gives a single hot shit about any of it until they put it on screen, and then I go back and learn about it a little bit. So just right. I was like, okay, well, now I've literally heard Kang the Conqueror's name for 25 years. Like, who the fuck is this dude? Like, and then I just looked up all like the 1,000 iterations of him that showed up at the comic. Yep. Some really weird places too. Also, I will say the stinger at the end did make me go, yeah.
Oh yeah, for I mean, we're gonna be okay. Spoilers, like we're not gonna fucking we're not gonna We're not going to segregate this shit. Nope. Yeah, we got some Loki at the very end, which was very cool.
So that makes tons of sense, though, because season two of Loki is about to come out. Kang, it's about dimension hopping and time travel. So
something I didn't know, by the way, because like I was saying, I like being surprised. I didn't know Loki season two was about to come out. I've completely unmoored myself from knowing when things are coming out. So when they're out, I'm just happily surprised.
That's fine. It's okay.
No, I found it's a nice. I'm not going to say not like it was a stressor or anything. But what if this is a nice? Might be a little.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So, like Matt, you said, yes, this movie wasn't necessarily all that much about Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was very much an ensemble piece.
Yep.
It was more about the ant family as a whole.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it. I like the family dynamic. I feel like, things that Disney has 100% co-signed on screen, grab the cop's gun and burn them.
Yes.
No question. Just remember, there could not be more coding in what happened in that. Like a populist uprising right now has a certain like weight in this cultural moment, like a populist uprising where you basically like smash the blue guys
the faceless blue guys.
The faceless
like,
blue
like
assholes.
Nameless faceless guys.
Who serve a fascist all dominating regime
and are overthrown by a communist ant collective?
Yeah, a super hyper socialist ant tech collective. I thought Hank Pym was great in this.
Oh yeah,
he was just like a crotchety old man who liked his ants.
Yeah,
likes a super ant. I did remember the ants. Like, I remember the whole
thing.
Chekhov's ants, man. Chekhov's ants.
My super intelligent ants.
And we're like, and they get thrown into the quantum verse with us. Okay, they're going to come back later. We all know this.
Yeah, screenwriting 101. But
I think of the characters, the Wasp got the shaft on things. I think every other character got some good moments to shine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hope Van Dyne was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I enjoyed Scott's daughter. I thought that was an interesting dynamic because she really did feel sort of a mix between Scott and Hope, even though she's not really Hope's daughter, but just that mixture of personality and connections that they all have.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, they were a good, I like how in the beginning they kind of like they started going with like Scott as being this like, stick in the mud dad, like doesn't want, wants to, control his daughter. But no, he just doesn't understand fully his daughter because, they missed 5 years of development with her.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, but he doesn't like come down on her super hard when it turns out that the thing that she was getting in trouble for was super based.
Yeah, it was super good. I like that she learned, doing these types of things have consequences. Like, she became less impulsive.
Don't not do them.
You need to do them.
Just have a plan.
And you understood Scott's motivations. Like, it's not just I want to protect my daughter, but it's like, these things are big, and they will have big consequences in your life if you keep doing them. And then at the end, obviously, he embraces, like, this is what you want. That's fine. I support you. But
he helps her actualize herself, gives her, like, the teachings and the trainings to do that Ant-Man shit. Which, it falls on a lot with, like, the last phase of Marvel, which was a lot of, youngsters passing the torch and people taking the place of heroes that have come before. Which, that's a good theme. I like that theme.
Speaking of that, I also liked the nightmare fuel that was when he shrunk down to get the dimension drive.
Yes, that was probably just like the cool
utter stuff. Insanity.
Yeah, I really liked that. Like, the visuals of that were fucking creepy as hell and like so weird. But I did like that, like, even though there was a lot of like crosstalk and they were all trying to do the thing, the second that the daughter was in danger and needed to be, they, like, everyone was on board.
Right.
That,
another
that is a unifying drive amongst all of them. Well, that, you know, just like, well, activate selfless mode.
Yeah, because it was all the probabilities. All of them would be the probability that I love and need to help my daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, there would be no other decision making at that point.
Even the Baskin Robbins Employee of the Year version.
Go get him. I don't even know why I'm here.
I also like Scott as a character, especially at the end when the existential crisis like overcame him. And he's like, I'll be fine.
Well, what I do is like, all right, Scott, but you like, you know, or doctor, you know, you need to tell Dr. Strange though, right? Like,
yeah,
you, of all the people you need to tell right now, you need to go tell Dr. Strange about this.
Yeah, we don't have a Tony Stark anymore. You definitely need to tell Dr. Strange. I mean, if, you know, the Fantastic Four are around, that would be a thing to talk to them about. But yeah, yeah, Strange really needs to be let in on it. Unfortunately, Strange is off dealing with his own multiversal bullshit.
Yeah, and but actually, that would make awesome sense to actually take out Kang. They need the Fantastic Four, and they need Summers. Yeah. They need them. Yeah, other parts of the movie that I really liked. Well, once I really liked, the visuals were very striking. However, in the same token, very extremely obvious they're all on green screen. Like,
oh yeah,
they did not do much in the way of like physicality.
Well, I read about what was going on, like, or at least it was really that, like, it was about money and time, man. Yeah, like, it was about,
because and COVID
and the rig they're using, they're apparently a Lucasfilm or whatever they are called now,
yeah,
has this whole like massive setup that is like massive LCD screens that are reactive and responsive and stuff like that, where that's where The Mandalorian is filmed on. Like, it's the same set. Quantumania filmed on the same set as The Mandalorian, or at least one in the same like device that where they do these big sweeping things. It's just a matter of, you know, time, money, and, you know, when you can get people where.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a bunch of CG characters when you can't have that many people standing close to each other, good call.
Yeah, it's fine. If nothing else, if the quality wasn't there, the variety and the dynamism of what we were seeing, because they're like, this place is fucking weird. Like, it's alien.
Yeah, so, I feel like you could have trimmed 15 minutes off it. Like, I feel like it was a little longer than it needed to be.
You did need the Bill Murray part.
Yeah, not really. That's right. I thought it was fun. Like, I like Bill Murray.
It was fun, but honestly,
it was fine. But it was just, it didn't play too much into the story. It was.
I mean, yeah. Okay. It let us at least know that. Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Janet
was, you know. She had some dirty shoes that she was running from, and like, no one really, it did help characterize her a little bit as like what she was getting up to. But yeah, there was just like, sometimes it felt like I was like, all right, I'm ready to, like, can we move on, please? I get it.
Because we're in full spoiler territory, and I haven't told this to you, Scott, at least now we know what happened to Chidi after The Good Place.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go to the quantum realm.
Yep.
He just went to the quantum realm because he was just doing Chidi.
Yeah, he's
just with telepathy.
Telepath Chidi. That was true.
Did he even have a name?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sure. So. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I liked their ensemble little like revolutionary force. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Her fucking weapon, the deletion axe.
Yes.
Like, that's my that's awesome.
I like Sower Laserhead. I'm sad he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a lot of feeling.
Yes.
There was a lot of feeling. Whole guy, also great. You know.
Yeah. Like, and terrifying when the shit got going on.
Yeah. Drink the ooze. Sorry. Right. Thank you.
I even thought MODOK was kind of fun.
Like, I'm not sure what my feelings on MODOK is.
I feel like it was like the listen, you had to do it, right? Like, if you had did, but did you have to? Like, did you have to do MODOK?
You know what? MODOK is always MODOK is straight up a joke character. Like, even if he's like, they he's always been kind of a joke, even when he's played serious. I just thought, like, I like the way he looked. He was so off-putting. He's supposed to be off-putting and not pleasant and just a fucking weird.
Smells fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
I did like there was this weird, because of the sort of the animation, I did like when he had the mask on and he had the Doom, the Doom voice going.
Yeah.
He was terrifying and intimidating. But when the mask came off and you were just seeing this dude's giant head, I was like, okay, I see what we're doing. We're playing with, because immediately went to comedy mode. Like, yep, yeah. Immediately slipped over. Like,
he's meant to be a comedic character.
Yeah. When I have to say, when I saw, when they went through the whole how he became MODOK scene, when they just like had him in this like little chamber with his huge head and his dangling body with his tiny little butt.
Yep.
That made me laugh so hard.
When I realized that those were his legs, because it took
me.
To fully process what I was looking at.
Well, really, it's like he's normal. He quote unquote is normal size proportioned for his limbs, but his head is like gargantuan. Like, so, because.
Well, the thing, like, if we want to like rewind the clock, that was actually really clever.
Yes.
Because when he got in the first movie, the thing that went wrong was that his helmet cracked. So his like containment suit was off. The rest of his body made the transition just fine. It was his head that got fucked up.
Yeah.
And that is like, when you think about it, that is a perfect way to do MODOK.
Yeah. Really cool way of doing MODOK, but we're going to transition real quick to Kang because
that's what the rest of this is going to be about. It's going to be about motherfucking Jonathan Majors.
Because the subtle play of like sympathy and like perspective, and then that slow turn of the tyranny and the insanity just start clicking and get turned up to 11 at the end is great.
Yeah, the way they introduce him to us through like that flashback, I loved it. I loved his performance through and through. And like, yes, you get that ramp up to fascism and tyranny, and he's a terrible being, but there's always this thread of, but he might be right.
Let's go back even farther. At the beginning, he's like, I'm stranded here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Help me. Help me. You're stranded here. I can help you. Mm-hmm. We're just two stranded people. We want to get out of here. Let's go home. And she's like, I can give you to your daughter before you even left. And I was just like, oh, shit. Like, that's some real good ploy there.
Okay, I just had to go check. Like, it did not occur to click with me at all that He Who Remains was Kang.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Didn't know that from Loki?
It didn't click with me, man. Loki was a while ago, and I'm always really high when I watch this shit. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I didn't realize that He Who Remains was also played by Jonathan Majors.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
That would have been the through line that would have made that make sense, because when it was explained, as Kang was just like, well, it all came as like, as Kang was explaining himself, I'm like, didn't we just do this on Loki?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Well, the thing is, like, those were two different Kangs.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Oh, I know. I get the whole fighting the army of yourself thing. I love that shit. Mm-hmm. Like,
and the idea of like, you know, you're fighting this one, but this one, like, is claims to be slightly better than all of the rest of them, and therefore you need me to fight them. You know, it's a theme, and it's a very well done theme for Kang. And like, yes. I'm like, but at the core, they're always a tyrannical asshole.
Right. What I actually like about that is from Loki when he's like, "See you real soon," and he's like, because we obviously time is very loosey-goosey with these things, and the multi-dimensional aspect of it is like, oh, if I'm still alive in Loki, I'm holding the timeline together because that's what the temporal enforcers are all about.
TVA, right? Yeah.
Keeping it there. The moment you kill him, that's when everything fractaled out, and that's when he got thrown into the quantumverse, because all of reality and all of time happened all at once. Like, they're like, oh, we exiled you to Quantumverse because we went through the whole process of, we have this collective is fighting each other.
No, I think you are not correct. I do not, like, they're not the same people. They're not the same Kang.
No, I know. I'm not saying they are. absolutely not saying they aren't the
same
person.
He who remains did not get exiled to the Quantum Realm. He
correct.
Got stabbed. So
when he died, that's when all of reality fractaled out again. Yeah.
And then that was
also the same moment that the army of Kangs
grabbed
this guy and was like, well.
Yeah, because they were like, all of reality just got opened up at the same time, and all events happen at the same time all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it melts my brain a little bit.
So basically, yes, the floodgates got opened up. One Kang rose to conquer the others. They were able to overcome him and exile him to the Quantum Realm, but it had already had done happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is like, it really bakes your noodle because, like, you know, we have this thing with Janet and like she had this thing that she hadn't told anybody, but had it happened yet? Like,
that's weird because the Quantum Realm, they did say, is outside time,
exactly,
space, and any sort of rules that we understand.
Like, that could very well have been the reason she didn't tell them, because it wasn't real until the moment with He Who Remains dying.
Correct.
In that timeline, something else happened while she was in the Quantum Realm, and then reality changed. And this is the kind of like noodle baking, what the fuck level of like time math that I just love.
Yep, absolutely, and it is great if they do it, if they execute the rest of the parts well.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very cool in the end. Because you'll have to come from this perspective of seeing more of it and playing with those rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Quantumania was the end of the MCU, guys. Like,
yeah. I don't know
what the fuck you're talking about.
According to a group of shitheads, yeah.
According to some guy on the internet who reviewed, like, I wouldn't have been annoyed by it unless I saw, like, five separate articles in my Google feed after going to purchasing a movie ticket about how this movie was just like the living end. It was it. That was the last.
I will say it's not their best one, but it wasn't obviously their worst. Like, it was just fine. It was
good. Made its money back barely.
Yeah.
I paid my $12 or whatever I had to get the ticket. Bada bing, bada boom.
Also,
I was entertained for 2 hours.
It continues to stand. No one gives a shit about Ant-Man. Like, it's no, like, in terms of, like, I must go see that movie. Like, the one that you're like, oh, man, fucking Ant-Man, best part of the MCU. Like, it just doesn't bring it out in people. I don't know.
Actually, I want to pull it back a little bit. When I saw the trailers for this movie, I actually thought the plot was going to be different. I thought it was going to be more about Scott feeling like he was inadequate, because you know how the whole funny line, thank you, Spider-Man, like nobody was recognizing him as an Avenger. It's like being the one who helped save the world. And he was like trying to get recognition, and then he gets all sucked in and Kang would have been like, hey, buddy, we can make that happen. We can make all of your dreams come true. Everyone will know that you're a hero if you help me. Because we'll save the multiverse together.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be more of the pull than what we got.
No, it turns out that he actually has been getting his recognition.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think that was fine and dandy and lovely. But I also thought it would have been more intriguing in my head.
Well, I really like how Kang, like, how he operates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always comes in with, like, the super reasonable. He starts, like, you know, saying, oh, you may have heard a few things, but, you know, perspective and blah, blah, blah. And here's how we can help each other. But he is like perfectly capable of turning up the threat, turning up the damage so that he's like, all right, where on this barometer are we going to come to getting what I want? I'm okay with any point on this barometer.
I'll escalate.
How much violence do I have to apply?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand, because I don't know much about Kang and like his capabilities. It did seem like he did run himself. That is a thing that can happen. He can just run himself out of gas, because it seemed like his abilities in the mid part of the movie, where he's like telekinetically individually breaking fingers and shit, is like, okay, well, that's pretty fine control, telekinesis. I didn't know. It's like, is that just like a thing he can do? Or is that a
machine? Yeah, well, it's all based on, like, because they explained it a little bit, because like, when they powered up the ship initially, he was able to get his suit back. And that's where all his power comes. His power is because he has like 31st century tech.
Okay. Now I was, that was my curious. It's like, is he himself superhuman or does he have tech?
No, he is a tech based villain. And the reason why his power ran out is because his suit got damaged.
That's what I did understand what was happening. I didn't know, cause I don't have the context to know whether Kang, like, okay, or is Kang also just like another superhuman metahuman monster as well as,
I mean, he probably has some abilities.
Right.
Some sort of like, but he's probably like, if we want to put this in aberrant terms, he's mega intelligent.
Yes.
Like he is.
Yeah.
He's mega intelligence, he's got mega intelligence, mega socials. He can build amazing technology and like manipulate people on a wide scale.
Yeah, because he's from a time period in which they have technology that bridges dimensions in time. Like that was the problem with King the Conqueror, is he comes from the future to unwrite his past.
Mm-hmm.
And change the future for everyone else so that he can get to the world that he wants.
He's also a descendant of Reed Richards.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's really cool that they're introducing him before Reed, before the Fantastic Four. Because like,
yeah, my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a whole bunch of weird shit going on.
The only thing I remember about Kang is that when they did the initial run of the Young Avengers,
mm-hmm.
the Iron Man equivalent,
yes, Iron Lad,
was actually the young version of Kang the Conqueror.
Yep, he is like Time Loop McGee. He's like, I want to stop, I need to stop my future self, but every step along the path of stopping his future self just turns him into his future self.
Right.
Yeah.
You do a thing?
Huh?
Oh, did you spill something?
I'm sorry. No, I was. Dust was getting in my face.
What is he doing? I thought you may have spilled a drink.
But Jonathan Majors, if he's going to be the one to carry us through the next big wave as a villain, I'm down for it.
I
like
that. Was a percent like here for it. Like the man has a great physicality to him, even when fighting.
Which is why it would be really fun. It would be really like a coup and really funny if when we get the Fantastic Four, it's Jonathan Majors as Reed. That would be great.
That would be really funny.
Motherfuckers.
Like, rumor mills that they're going to make like really shake up the casting with what the Fantastic Four look like and who they are.
That would be super badass.
That would be amazing. I hope they give him all the money.
They need the official Marvel spit shine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Fantastic Four will be fine. If they get the proper, like, if they get a direct, like, it's just not the same days it was back when those movies came out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess they did try it again with the gritty reboot with Fanforstick.
Mm-hmm.
No, which I never saw, nor should I.
Never saw either, yeah.
I've watched it analyzed enough to understand what went wrong there. But either way, just, they overcorrected. They were like, oh, we're goofy, now we're going to go grimdark. They overcorrected. It's like, okay, well, we can probably get this back and just be like, can we get like listen, guys, if you just make it a B+, everyone will just go fucking see it like everything else, all right?
Just make it a family sort of action comedy and you're good. You're done. You're done. That's all you need to do because the whole point is their family.
Listen, if you guys want to do one heavy one and one fun one a year, we're all fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Meanwhile, I am just fucking waiting for my goddamn X-Men. I need them. Like, I'm working my way every time a new collected edition of the Krakoan era X books come out, I just devour it. And it's so
that is on my short list. I just can't get around. I need to get around to getting them.
They are released in lovely, you know, like, here's the next batch of all of them collected, you know, trade paperbacks. And it's so good.
So since we're a little off topic, but that's okay. We're about to wrap up in just a minute. Mm-hmm. So if I might understand it, it's the Xavier has been like a clone and is being controlled by Sinister.
Maybe in like out super current. I'm like probably a year behind because that's where they are in the trades.
Yeah.
I don't know about the super recent stuff. I just got past the Onslaught. The reoccurrence of Onslaught in the trades.
Did you get them digitally?
Yeah, I got them digitally.
Okay, I need to grab them and start reading.
Yeah, they're super cheap on Kindle.
Okay.
I've been on a comic book reading streak lately. Yeah, I've been really putting the burn on the Kindle. They make it unfortunately very easy.
They really do, don't they?
$5 here and $5 here. Mm-hmm. I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, yeah, nope, I mean, like, no, I just subscribe to like the things that I like in terms of comics.
But let's go back to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We obviously had a good time with it. It's not like the best thing. I think you do need to watch it though if you're like a guy who wants to understand the continuity of the MCU going forward.
Yeah, because
you need to watch it.
It is going to be foundational for the shit that's about to happen.
And that's probably why they did it this way, right? It's just like, well, not everyone gets as hyped for Ant-Man as they like. It's hard to follow Wakanda Forever. Let's put some real important shit in this one.
Yep. Yep.
I also said the introduction of Namor as a concept is also very important for Wakanda Forever in terms of just like the general world building that they're mm-hmm. doing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got two great villains in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Which has always been Marvel's problem.
Yeah, you got to write them well. You got to make them compelling. You got to make them this much sympathetic, just a hair, just a little understanding. Well, and then that's what they get you.
They need to be almost right.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Not quite, but almost.
All right. I think we're okay. Anything last words, guys?
I mean, going back to my gaming that I didn't mention, I've been having a whole big blast about Marvel. And I just got hit. I just got my first Kang card played on me, which is very funny. So Kang, you know, everyone's a card. They've got a card for everybody. And what Kang does in the game, he's usually like, he's high powered, so it's usually one of the last cards to get played. It basically, he plays Kang and then rewinds time. So basically, your strategy got revealed. Like if you had like a final finishing move, it got revealed. So it rewinds. They don't have Kang anymore, but they get to, you have to replay it. And
they saw your turn?
Yeah. They see the whole turn play out. And then Kang shows up and says, yeah, no, that didn't happen.
Oh, dude, so that's like an advanced version of the Daredevil card.
Yes.
Because the Daredevil card lets you, when you play it, the next turn, when you play something, they know, they get to, before they make the decision, they get to know what you're playing.
Yeah, no, it literally, you play through the whole turn, and then you have to go back. And they know what you're up to.
That's very fucking clever. That is such a clever use of the digital aspect.
I still beat the motherfucker because I had the like wombo combo.
Yeah, the knowledge sometimes doesn't necessarily mean the knowledge is going to fucking help you. That's the problem with weird in all card games like that. That's like, you know, like the weird legendaries in, you know, Hearthstone. It's like, that's a really cool ability, but that is such a fucking meme.
It can be. They nerfed the shit out of the original. I haven't played in a while, but when I was playing, I was beating people left and right with like my Silver Surfer deck because I had cracked how to do that. Were like, oh no, because you just overpower everyone on turn six.
Yeah, I'm really want. I need to get some cards to try out some of the cheesy shit that I've been getting hit with, like the Luke Cage Hazmat Typhoid Mary combo.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's degenerate to me.
Fucking degenerate. Oh my god.
Though I have other complaints about Marvel Snap, but that's mostly how they do how you hit cards and stuff.
Oh yeah, no, you're gonna pay money. You're gonna.
Oof. You got. Oof, it's so rough to be a free to play player.
Yeah, I've put.
It's like they made their game worse so you'd pay more.
Yeah, I justified it as a birthday purchase to buy like the big like hit pro bundle.
Yeah, yeah.
And that greased a lot of wheels and took the pressure off.
I wouldn't say I spent about that much on just before they had that bundle. I spent about that much on stuff just to get like the cards I wanted because I wanted to play with certain cards. Like because you don't get all the cool, you don't get a lot of your favorite characters just hanging out doing stuff.
$50.
You gotta go buy them and find them.
Yeah, $50 on something like this is not a big deal. Like it's something that. If you're paying the price into the card game that you would for a normal, okay, I say $50 as a normal game now, but now that I'm like 95 years old, but if you spend less than you would on a AAA game on a card game and you play it a fuck ton, I say that's totally
fine. Yeah,
I put at least that much time in Marvel Snap for the amount I paid like a normal video game for. So yeah. It's a wash. It doesn't really matter to me.
I consistently have fun playing it. You know, it's cool.
It's super fast. I will say this. That's the addictive part. Yeah. Like you can get a game in under like 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's so quick. I think that's enough though.
Yeah. That's enough.
All right. Scott, go to bed.
So from everyone here at Polyhedron, go where your fun is.
But also go to bed when you're supposed to and roll some dice or something.
I'm going to roll dice to go to bed.
Do I get to have a good night's sleep? No.
Brr.